All right, and we are live. It is about 4:30 here in the afternoon, Sunday, April 22nd, 2023, coming at you from beautiful Belgrade, Serbia, in glorious 32 kbps. We have just a very brief show today. We're just telling jokes about what's happening in Serbia and Bosnia. So very big developments. As you might appreciate. So we've been looking at the last few kind of like news item and, what's come out of the, government in the Republic of Srpska. This is the part of Bosnia, that's adjacent to Serbia, and they're an autonomous Serbian Republic, right? Anyway, so, some background of this is a couple of years ago, they organized a referendum, which experts assessed was a dry run of a referendum for independence from Sarajevo. And, the outcome of this was about 98 or 99% approval of separating from Sarajevo. Now, under the terms of the Dayton Accords, which goes back to the middle 90s during the Third Yugoslav War, they have the Third Balkans War. They have the problem with the enforcement mechanism where the basically the NATO has tried to impose itself through European structures as an arbiter of things like elections, regulations, things, and this is independently from the EU. This is independently from like EU monitoring. And this means that elections, judges, up until, you know, maybe 2004, this organization was freezing bank accounts of judges that they didn't like, that were too, you know, pro whatever or too anti what have you. So anyway, also, of course, you have the pipeline politics and then you have like the organizational structures of how the constitution of all of Bosnia and Herzegovina works. And within that constitution, you have the, basically the autonomous republic of the Serbian Republic inside of Bosnia, right? So now they can veto things that are, you know, let's say international treaties, international agreements. So, for a number of reasons, if an aim was to keep someone neutral, if then like the Serbian Republic inside of Bosnia has been able to maintain block neutrality for Bosnia and has kept it out of let's say NATO, for example, and also the EU. So, but that doesn't change the direct, like, say, colonial relationship that Germany has with Bosnia. And you can see, like, for example, the value of the Deutschmark is still present, and it's present as in one of the forms that it's present is as the convertible mark, which is the currency of Bosnia and Herzegovina. So, now the pipeline politics is complex, but you can just extrapolate how either that veto would compel, you know, certain decisions for Sarajevo. And there is some, there's already some energy, economics that the Serbian Republic is able to exercise already. Now, imagine, for example, when you have this more parallel announcement that the Hungarians and the Republic of Serbia, right, with its Belgrade capital, the country, you know, recognized internationally as a fully independent country, has a seat at the UN and everything. Now we're talking about Serbia, which is adjacent to the Republika Srpska. They're doing this pipeline deal with Hungary now that was announced that's going to bring Russian gas through, I guess, we'll see where it comes through. But it'll certainly be interesting. Will it come through Ukraine? Right? So we'll see what happens with that. Anyhow, but this is something that you want to monitor and kind of keep together in your head. Like, you want to include that in your, keep that on your radar screen as these developments are happening in Republika Srpska. Now, there are aspects of a crisis that we've talked about previously is how a color revolution type thing in Sarajevo, this type of thing, it can be pressure politics, it can be protests which legitimize the sitting government in Sarajevo representing the let's say the Muslim and Croat Federation, which is the other side. And they have like veto power with each other too, but they inhabit more of a single confederation politically, whereas the Serbs are entirely autonomous. So like the Catholics and the Muslims, because these people all speak the same language and you wouldn't tell one from the other on the street, right? So this is kind of like Dr. Seuss's Butter Battle Book for those of you who understand. And so as it's been characterized in the West Balkans as the narcissism of small differences. And these things have, of course, been a cover that the West has used to explain away its own role in through history of intelligence organizations and picking political leaders and bribery and infiltration have had more to do with explaining the bifurcation of various political processes in the division or even deconstruction, destruction of various political processes. Let's say, for example, in Yugoslavia. And all of that is, you know, added history going back to the Europe's relationship to the Ottoman Empire going back to, let's say, the 19th century. At least, I mean, of course, you could go back to the beginning of time with this stuff, but just relevant to the issues at hand and how then later the first Yugoslavia and the second Yugoslavia would be structured in the 20th century. And then after that, in the 90s, with that war, how the Europeans and the Americans played the most decisive role, other than the Serbs, in constructing what post-war Serbia and Bosnia in particular would look like. And in the middle of the war, you got, like we said, the Dayton Accords. And people consider that to be fairly decent. Like, this was before the U.S. bombing of Belgrade. This is a number of years, like, you know, whatever, 3 or 4 years before that, or a couple of 2, 3, whatever years before that. And Serbia was in a good position militarily, as they were even at, that's kind of one of the reasons that the U.S. decided to bomb. But it was surprising, actually, to many people, the resistance that the Serbs were putting up. And people will know, for example, the famous three-star General Delic was known for downing the self-bomber, right? So this is kind of the things that were going on at the time. But the U.S. actually had a difficult time taking on Serbia without, let's say, expanding the conflict in a way that would trigger a response. And in fact, that they failed in that sense, because the developments that occurred in Russia, it kind of gave the final cue to the internal hermetically sealed Russian intelligence, basically sort of like a committee to save, you know, to save the situation or whatever, knew then that it was time to remove Yeltsin and have Putin actively engage with the U.S. In Serbia. So that's, as you know, when the bombing stopped was when the Russian forces arrived. And they arrived, they advertised it as a friendly pro-U.S. ally move, and that's how they, and that's how even CNN and NBC at the time reported on it, which is very interesting, like that it got through the media that way, even in the West. But when Russia arrives, it ends the ability of the U.S. to continue bombing Belgrade. And then so the final agreement on Kosovo actually was that one that the UN recognizes, as it was basically memorialized and enforceable by as a UN Security Council resolution, which is the only and last international law on the subject of, let's say, Kosovo. So all of these things are what happened between Dayton and after Dayton, but at the time that Dayton was between Dayton and the bombing of Belgrade, rather more specifically. And but Dayton was considered fairly good for the Serbian force in the end, and because it allows the autonomous republic of the Serbian Republic in Bosnia to actually have in the Dayton Accords the right to do the things that they're doing now. And basically, when the way that it's interpreted is that all things being equal, if the situation of the continuation of the whole country of Bosnia and Herzegovina, which includes Republika Srpska, is no longer tenable, then which you're actually the all things being equal, the thing that you have to favor the most in the way that this was constructed is the thing that goes in the direction of the self-determination of the Serbian group there. And then based upon that, the question is, are they better off? Because if it, you can be of a single ethnic identity with a neighboring people, with a neighboring country, but if it's not in your best, if it's not in the best, we talked about this in a past episode with regard, let's say, to Kosovo. We talked about it in terms of like parental, you know, like jurisdiction or rather custody, like in custody sharing agreements that you have like with divorced parents, right? And anyhow, so if you look at the access to the resources, let's say you would like in a custody dispute, and the way that Republika Srpska would stand to link up with Serbia, right? Now, in with regard to pipeline politics, geopolitics, and also the, you know, expression of self-determination of these people. So anyway, this is just a short today. We just wanted to give a little background, and then right now we're going to move in and just talk a little bit about what's happening right now. Okay, so we mentioned there was a referendum, which is not about independence, but it was code for independence. This was a couple of years ago, and it was a real referendum, but it was about should Republika Srpska recognize Belgrade's Independence Day as their own Independence Day. And that, like I said, had 99% approval. So then you have to move forward and then look at what Dodik has been doing with government, and the opposition party supports him in this as well, which is very important, that in the legislature, that the government and it and the, you know, the bloc, the opposition group, they all endorse this perspective, right? Which is that now they're issuing a statement on Monday or on Tuesday, I believe, or Wednesday. It's going to be formalized. And in that, they're going to calls on the judges, that are Serbian within the, you know, whole system, the Sarajevo system. We'll just refer to that as the Sarajevo system, and that they're withdrawing basically from the Sarajevo system incrementally. Still within, they haven't said we're an independent country. But they're doing it within their interpretation of the Dayton Accords and within, the framework of still they're technically in, like if you look at a map, it would all say Bosnia Herzegovina, right? So only like on the maps that show autonomous provinces and name them independently would you see that as like an autonomous republic or, right? So anyhow, the other thing that they did is, these things, of course, doesn't mean that these are enacted today. These are statements. Some of them are calling on judges to do things, which is sort of like an official beginning of a political process or different ways to do politics, of course. And then what's going to happen is they're setting up the border with, the Muslim Croat Federation. So the Muslim Croat Federation, because they're kind of like, they don't have contiguous communities. They're like set up in different cantons, and it's almost like, okay, this area is Muslim, this area is Catholic, this area is Muslim, this area is Catholic, and so on and so forth. So they just have a federation. It's like almost like a checkerboard, so to speak, of Muslims and Croats. So, and they're called cantons. And, anyway, so what's going to happen now is this is expected to provoke, you can see that this was done like at the weekend, right, on the news cycle, and when business is closed, right, in Sarajevo and so forth. But this is going to provoke a response from the NATO oversight. This is going to provoke a response from even the EU. This is going to provoke a response from, like the government in Sarajevo, of course. And all these things are getting ahead of the curve. Right, because they're setting up these things now. They're not exiting Bosnia, but they're setting these things up now, and they're also going to have to increase their security forces and things like this. They're setting up to have the border control, like I just mentioned as well. That they'll do sooner, right? But that's just going to provoke a response. But this is all planned politically and strategically, because as we mentioned a year ago, this was as the conflict in Ukraine continues, Serbia is like the next area of conflict by and large. You know, if we exclude activity directly with Poland or directly with, you know, Latvia, Lithuania, et cetera, I mean, it's even more likely and more pressing. The lowest hanging fruit, in terms of, like what's considered a pro-Russian country, in Europe, geographic Europe, the Balkans, is Serbia, right? And it's much closer to NATO and farther from Russia, and it's surrounded, right? So anyway, there's a lot of reasons why things would happen here, and we've discussed in past episodes of the comedy show here. But what they're going to actually have happen in Sarajevo is a political pressure process, you know, against the Banja Luka, against Republika Srpska. And it's all tying into, obviously, these things wouldn't be happening right now if Russia wasn't in the strong position that it's in. And look at where Europe is at, right? I wonder if anything having to do with Republika Srpska, either implicitly or explicitly, was related to the conversation that XJP had with Macron, right? So all of these things, obviously, because they relate in our, you know, in reality that we live in, it would make sense that if these things are coming up or these things are known issues, and why would it be of interest to the Chinese? Because they're making investments in things, and of course there's risks involved and whatnot. And if France is going to be together with other European countries on an intervention in Serbia, the Germans have a very strong sense that they have a right to control Serbia, and it comes from every government. I mean, if you think the U.S. is bad, and they are, you have to look at the Germans. The Germans just the U.S. talks in the soft way, actually about Serbia, by and large, like they're still obviously holding their position, but they usually in recent years they try to talk nice, even though they're against, and they will say that they're against certain things that the Serbian government does and openly and everything like that, and pretty consistently, but they still have this thing about, we're friendly to the Serbian people and we want to move past this. The U.S. never says sorry for things, but that we want to move past this bombing of Belgrade that we did. That was a very long time ago, 1999. But the Germans have a very different attitude. They don't conceal, this whole idea that the Germans are these kind of like play nice people and pushovers, and that they've been emasculated since World War II. Like, well, when they're allowed, one place among several that they're allowed to kind of be nasty is with regard to Serbia. So always look at what the Germans are saying about Serbia to kind of see the things that are in the works. And they have a lot of intelligence and stuff going on. They have NGOs and things like that. They try to control aspects about Serbian culture, Serbian history. Remember Adolf Hitler bombed the National Library. Very ancient Serbian texts about the history of the Serbs, books as old as the 10th, 9th century AD were destroyed by the Nazis intentionally to destroy Serbian history. We're talking about books, libraries, that these are not public libraries that have multiple editions of, these were single, only existing copy type stuff. Originals and things like this from the medieval period. Anyway, so a lot of Serbian history was destroyed by the Nazis. The Germans have this very, very strong attitude towards reshaping and controlling Slavic identity and Slavic history. Obviously, we talked before about the origins of the, under Catherine the Great, of the Russian Academy of Sciences and the heavy German influence of them and why the Germans created the Russian Academy of Sciences. Of course, in that long time in between, the Russians have wrestled back control over most of the narrative, right? But at least over what goes forward. But there's still these funny hiccups in official Russian history, which are actually reliant on, you would even call it like Vatican-controlled history in some way at that time. I'm not talking about a conspiracy theory today that's anti-Catholic. I'm just talking about what power the Vatican had in the 1600s and 1700s and so forth. That's indisputable. Anyway, so this Bosnian situation is going to develop. This is just like as we talked about here. And this is what I forecasted in terms of the nature of what's happening and the separation of, in the direction of that, separation of Republika Srpska from Bosnia, and how that ties into the conflict in Ukraine. And we have some, I think I talked with Patrick Henningsen, 21st Century Wire or maybe TNT Radio, about it in great detail. So you can find that with Patrick's stuff. It's pretty good. He keeps all the back episodes. So anyway, it was just a brief today. Just about, 40 minutes, just to kind of get you guys up to these very, very big developments and just to be clear about what is happening and what is not happening. So again, Republika Srpska is not breaking off from Bosnia. They're halfway breaking off from Bosnia. And then we're going to see what the reaction is. And again, this is preemptive, just to understand, to underline, bold exclamation point. The big takeaway is that what they are doing is to solidify their position within the rubric of Dayton. So, and they're not separating from Bosnia, but they are exercising self-determination. And they're halfway breaking off of Bosnia is the most layman's way, or the most, shortcut heuristic way to go about looking at it. And then that's to preempt a crisis that is being planned by, I don't know, the Germans or the collective West or the Americans. That's going to be details, but they would want to have created a similar crisis or a similar separation or enclosure or forced problem for Republika Srpska, or to keep them in the country, but change the constitution so they don't control the courts that they have, change the constitution so they don't have their own defense forces. They have their own military, actually, you see. So the Serbian Republic, the Republika Srpska, they have their own paramilitary, and there's no Sarajevo military there. So it's already an autonomous republic, you see. It's not an autonomous province. It's an autonomous republic inside of Bosnia-Herzegovina, right? So they're going halfway to sovereignty now, or halfway to full, halfway to breaking off, rather, from Bosnia now, withdrawing from, that's going to be a process that they can speed up or slow down in the coming weeks, months, right? But withdrawing from the courts, putting up the border control at the borders, probably increasing, or had actually been buying some stuff from, I think, Serbs or others, in the military. So we have to look at what they're doing militarily. But as we've said, if there's a military situation, there's one possibility that the proper Serbia has to go in and help Republika Srpska. And that's going to be a very difficult time and crisis for Serbia. Even though if the outcomes come out all right, it will be better off for them, for the Serbs. But bear in mind that Russia officially has been supporting Serbia along this path, and it would seem unlike the Russians to encourage someone that is a very visible, important, historical friend, and how the, even in terms of the war of perception and stuff like that, Serbia is not something that Russia would encourage to do things that were unbalanced or unstrategic if they weren't in cahoots with, the problem solving part of it, right? Or implementation. So keep all those things in mind, guys. Thanks for being with us. As soon as I finish, I'm going to, silently count to five, I guess, because these have been cutting off in a strange way for some people. Anyway, cheers. All right.